Folks, I hope that the song we just sang impressed upon your heart the holiness of our God and how great He is. How blessed are we to have the knowledge and the desire to even lift our voices towards heaven and to thank God and know that He is God and that He is our personal God. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord loved His people with an everlasting love. Not that we deserved it, but He loved us. And we should be thankful. We are His people. Now, folks, I say that because as we go into our service this morning, this is a continuation, a part two, if you will, from our previous message from last week. "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me" is what we titled that. And you know, we forget sometimes in our lives that we need instructions. The psalm says that we are dust of the earth, and we are. We're frail. And it's easy for us to sometimes lose our way and go astray. But to those that love the Lord, God is merciful, and He is patient, and He is kind, and He is loving, and He is forgiving. That is the Lord's nature. But folks, He is also holy. We can never forget the Lord is faithful. So I say that because we will be in Exodus again, where the Lord made the covenant with the Israelites. And just to recap a little bit, and then we'll go into the main part of our message. The Lord led the Israelites out of Egypt. He performed miracles that had never been seen and will never be seen again. The Israelites saw these miracles. They lived them. They experienced them. They saw the Egyptian army when they had nowhere to go pursuing them. And they were facing the Red Sea. God made a way for them to cross over on dry land. The Bible is very specific about it. And when the Israelites crossed over, the Egyptian armies pursued them. The Red Sea returned and drowned them. God delivered the Israelites. And He led them for 3 months in the wilderness. And He provided water for them from the rock. And He gave them quail to eat and manna from heaven. He met their needs for 3 months. And then they came to Mount Sinai. And this is where the Lord was giving the commandments. So I just want to read a little bit, recap what we read last week, and then we'll move forward. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 9. And here the Lord is speaking to Moses, which will be delivered to the Israelites, to God's people. And folks, this applies to me and you. So how will you answer this? How will you digest this word, so to speak? "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to Me above all people. For all the earth is Mine, and you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So God is making a covenant. If you obey My commands, you will be a special treasure. And folks, as we read through Exodus, God identifies so many of the blessings and the benefits that the Israelites will be recipients of if we keep His commandments. I say we. It applied to the Israelites especially, but folks, it's still applies to us. Jesus told us, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." So then again, this is just a brief little summary and recap from last week. Chapters 20 through 23 defines the Ten Commandments. But folks, there weren't just Ten Commandments. There were 52 other laws and instructions and commandments that God gave to Moses to give to the Israelites. I want to encourage you to read those chapters because it applies to today's life too. It talks about justice and judicial systems. It talks about every aspect of life, what's acceptable behavior, what's not acceptable behavior, how we should treat each other. All of this is given and measured out in these chapters. But specifically, we looked at the first two of the Ten Commandments. And I want to read them to you again. And I want this to be constantly replaying over in your mind as we go through this message. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And folks, stopping right there. I am your God is singular. It applies to us as individuals. Of course, it also applied to the whole nation. All the earth is the Lord's. But you are a believer this day, and he is our God, and he is Lord of your life if you are truly a believer in Christ. And let me ask, who do you follow in this world? Who is the Lord of your life? Who are you following? Whose commandments are you keeping? We need to be asking ourselves that. This is a deeply personal message that we're talking about today. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, salvation comes from the Lord. It is a gift. At some point in our life, he speaks to us and he draws us to him. What did the Lord just tell the Israelites? He told Moses, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Folks, we are in bondage to sin without Jesus Christ. Just like God gave the Israelites salvation and brought them out of Egypt, they didn't deliver themselves. We don't deliver ourselves either. It is the Lord who is merciful, who provides for his children. Just like he drew the Israelites out of Egypt, the Lord draws us out of the bondage of sin too. Are we thankful and grateful enough that we keep his commandments for all that he has done for us? Now let's continue on, because here the Lord gives us instructions. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that we're looking at. How does it apply to you? How does it apply to the church? And how does it apply to our nation? The very first one. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. Now, folks, that doesn't, again, I said this last Sunday, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to have a list with God up at the very top. There are no other gods, period. Because God sees all. There should be nothing elevated in our life to the point that it hinders our worship of the Lord. Because when something rises to that level, it has become an idol. We are to have no other gods before him. And you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep God's commandments. Don't you love the Lord? Aren't you thankful that the Lord has given you the gift of faith? Aren't you thankful for the mercy that God has given you in your life? I know I am. You know, no matter where we go in the Bible, we can't flip more than a couple pages before we are brought back to the Lord's mercy. His mercy is new every day, and it endures forever. Aren't you thankful? Now, folks, I'm coming to the end of this recap. In Exodus 24, verse 3, this is kind of a summation of what's occurred over all these chapters. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now, folks, this is important because it's recorded here twice now. They are making a covenant with God. God is promising them he will do this for them if they will keep this covenant. Twice they have said that they would keep the covenant. Now, drop down with me. Exodus chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, turn there for just a moment. And then we'll turn over to the rest of the morning to our main text. But Exodus 24, verses 16 through 18. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, folks, I just want to bring this again to your attention. Some of you weren't here. The Israelites are at the base of Mount Sinai. Some of the priests and elders were allowed to go up to what you might call the base camp, a little bit higher. And they were allowed to go no further. Only Moses could go to the top. But every one of them could see the thunder, hear the thundering, see the lightning, see the cloud up on Mount Sinai. And it said the people trembled and were afraid. God's presence was there. They couldn't mistake it and deny it. They could all see it. The Lord was there. And Moses had gone up for 40 days and 40 nights. He was receiving all these commandments and all these instructions to keep the covenant that God was making with them. Now that brings us to where we are today. And I guess this one thing I didn't mention, including in those instructions, in verses in chapters 25 up through 31, that's the reason I'm skipping ahead, those are all instructions about how to build the tabernacle, how to put together the ark, and all the instructions for the priests, and all the duties that they would be performing. God was giving out and laying out in detail the commandments for how the Israelites were to live, how to worship, and keep the covenant that God was making with them. He was providing everything. Now, let's turn to our main text. And folks, I have to admit, this for me, it's hard to read it. It's hurtful. And I feel ashamed. Because it applies to all humanity as to what's just about to happen as we read it. Exodus chapter 32. And folks, we're going to read, and then we're going to stop, and we're going to examine it and apply it to us and see what the Israelites did. Again, they're at the base of the mountain, and Moses has gone to the top, and they can visibly see the presence of the Lord on the mountain. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." This is verse 1. And folks, I want to stop right here. How sad. What a horrible thing has just occurred. So I want to think about it and examine it. You know, it started with one person. If you think about it, I've made this comment many times. Every day of our life, we are either a positive influence or a negative influence on those that are around us. It started with one person. One person was ungrateful for everything that the Lord had just done. Perhaps he was inconvenienced and he didn't like what was occurring. Perhaps he got a little hot and a little thirsty, a little tired. I don't know, but he was ungrateful. And he started grumbling. And then he grumbled to somebody else. He started gossiping. And it spread and it incited the people. That's how poisonous gossip can be. And that's how poisonous an ungrateful heart can be. And that's what's at the root of this problem. You see, we're talking about gods before me and idols. You know, it doesn't take much for a selfish person to become unthankful, ungrateful. And then that idol of me rises to the top. You start thinking about me and looking at me. And folks, that is a false god and idol. When you are always the most important person in the room, there's a problem. When your convenience, your schedule, your comfort, whatever it may be, is more important than God's word, there's a problem. That idol of self-worship, of selfishness, of me, 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 is very destructive. And it's poisonous. And it can dispirit people that are around you. It can be a negative influence. And I'll tell you, this is the truth. You can look it up, but it used to be a part of maritime punishment. You go back about 300-400 years, those sailors that grumbled because they didn't like some of the commands, they had their foot nailed to the deck of the boat as an example to other people, because just a little bit of bad grumbling demoralized the whole crew. That's what's occurring right here. The text says the people. It started with one, but it spread to the people from a negative influence. The bad influence, the gossiping, it incited others, and they gathered together and they confronted Aaron. So let me ask you again, what kind of influence are you having on those around you? Folks, if you're the type of person, or you know the type of person that is griping constantly, nothing's ever good enough, always complaining, if things don't go to suit them, then there's an issue. Well, if it's you, you need to pray for, go to the Lord on your knees and pray, say, Father, help me to repent. And if it's somebody else you know, then pray the same thing for that person, because they are struggling with the idol of me, and they need to overcome it. Just think about that poisonous effect in a church, because it can happen. The people told lies. When they start telling lies, they started making excuses for their behavior. They said, we don't know what's happened to this Moses. Well, that was a big fat lie, but they knew exactly where Moses was. He was up on the mountain in the presence of God. But they were making excuses, and they were confronting Aaron. Make us gods to go before me. You see, when they were in Egypt, Egypt was a very polytheistic society. They had many gods, gods for everything, from insects and animals on up to all the deities that they had made. And see, it's plural. It says, make us gods. So we know what happens next. But just bear this in mind. In less than 40 days, they have already broken the covenant that they swore to keep. More than twice it's recorded here that they would keep it. Now let's continue on to verse 2. And folks, it's hard to explain Aaron's behavior here. I see a lot of symbolism, or I should not symbolism, but I'll say similarities in Aaron and people today. But unfortunately, a lot of similarities between Aaron and the church as a whole. The people confronted Aaron and said to him, break off the golden earrings, which are ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them, the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I've used the term once already, but how shameful. How pathetic, how self-serving, how sinful. There's not enough adjectives that could be used to describe what they've done. But folks, I want to bring a couple points to your attention. You see, there was a cost to make this golden calf. Aaron told him, break off the gold from your earrings. Well, you think about it. When Israel left Egypt, they took gold and a lot of other wealth with them. The Lord allowed that and blessed them with it. And that's where the gold came from to make that their earrings. And then subsequently it was used to make the golden calf. The blessings that came from the Lord. And they freely gave it up. Not being thankful from where it came. But they gave it up and squandered it to fulfill their lust to create and worship a false god. That's what was in the hearts of the people. They said, go before us. A false god to go before us. This is the God that led us out of Egypt. Well, folks, like all false gods, it leads to destruction. Look at yourself. Look at our society. What idols, what false gods, what bad influences do we have in our lives? You cannot explain Aaron's behavior. Aaron, just for clarity purpose, was Moses' older brother. How could he do this? Let's continue reading. Because it gets worse, in my view, what Aaron did. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, this being this golden calf. He built an altar And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord." Then they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. How quickly this sinful influence swept over the Israelites, who had just benefited from all of God's blessings, who had just swore to, through an oath, to keep his covenant. And they have turned to these false gods by the wicked influence of these. There were some ringleaders, and they had gone astray. The people were willfully worshiping a false idol that they had created with their own hands. They knew it because they gave the gold to have it built. They knew it was a creation of man, but they gleefully reveled in what they thought was an accomplishment, but was in fact a delusion and a horrible, great sin. Isn't that what people are doing today? What is this month called? It's called Pride Month. People are gleeful, reveling in their sins. You know, we're all sinners. God is quick to forgive when we go to Him and ask for forgiveness. Help me, change my life. But these people were pridefully rebellious, just as we see what's going on now. They thought that God did not see what they had done, or they didn't care. Whatever it was, they didn't think there would be any consequences, and they were carefree. Just like people out here celebrating Pride Month. They're proud of their sins. These people were reveling and celebrating. And folks, what it boils down to is, in essence, and this happens throughout history, every time man disregards God and turns away from His commandments, they were in essence elevating themselves to a godlike status and worshiping themselves. So they had nobody to answer to. Now I want to ask you again, what influences are you listening to in your life? You think about Aaron. You see, Aaron had become a people pleaser, pleasing people. Being popular, having notoriety, celebrity status is a false god too, because you care and are more concerned about what other people think of you than what God thinks of you. It is an idol. There are so many idols in our lives that we allow to come into our life that we put before God that has more importance than keeping His commandments and worshiping Him. Folks, this is not a comfortable message, I know. But it is the Lord's commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's no false idols. If the more we examine our lives, the more we perhaps we can see ourselves in the assembly of the Israelites. I don't know. But I want to ask you, is there anything standing between you and the Lord? If there is, it's a false idol. Perhaps it's an idol of me, only caring about my comfort and what comes my benefit only, not being caring and concerning about others. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I can't find anywhere in all these passages and pages where once the Bible says that the Lord respects and loves somebody who's selfish. You can't be a cheerful giver if you're only thinking about yourself. And you know what else when you're only thinking about yourself? You're not praying for other people like you should be either. I'm being a little bit harsh on all these people out here in Pride Month. I have no tolerance for people that will change God's word to excuse their lives. The sin itself is bad, but we're all sinners. But when you try to pervert God's word and take what is a sin and say, no, it's not, and purposely lead people astray, that's a worse sin. And folks, that's what's going on in this society. And I said there's similarities between the church and Aaron. The church is not doing anything to confront it. No, the church as a whole is accepting it and endorsing sinful behavior. We need to be praying for these people. We need to be praying for God to touch their hearts and turn them back to the truth, which is God's word. Living by God's word. Because He is a loving, compassionate, and forgiving God. And when we repent from our sins, the Word tells us that He is quick to forgive our sins. So, folks, we need to be praying for our country. Now, I want you to ask yourself, When you think about, are you a people pleaser before a God pleaser? Do you put God's law first in your life? Even if that means you might make other people uncomfortable, it's a choice we have to make on a daily basis. What's more important to you? What type of influence are you having on other people? It's important. I will tell you this, because it was true for these Israelites and it's true for us. Whenever we willfully follow and pursue a lie, just like people celebrating Pride Month, there will be consequences. There will be a cost. Because God looks on the heart and God sees all. You can't escape that. Now, folks, I might go over a little bit this morning, but this message is important. Exodus 32, 8 through 14. Moses has been in the presence of the Lord for 40 days. 40 days. And God is giving him the covenant and the Ten Commandments. You see, he had not returned with the stone tablets just yet. And now God tells Moses what's happened. Verse 8, he tells them, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation.'" Folks, stop right here for just a little bit of clarity in case it's helpful. God is angry, and he's telling Moses to get away from me, so then in his anger, I believe he doesn't hurt and injure Moses. He says, "I will make a great nation out of you." And that would be keeping in the promise that he made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because Moses was a direct descendant. He was ready to wipe out and exterminate all of these that had gone astray already. He was upset. The Lord was angry, and he would have been justified and righteous if he had done it. "Go away so that my anger may burn hot against them." But then we see Moses. And I want you to look at something very, very revealing, I think. Moses was called the most meek person on earth that ever lived, really. You look at what Moses does. You recognize in his character, you see a great love. You don't see any selfishness. You don't see any me in here. No, you see Moses' concern for the Israelites, who didn't deserve it. But there it was. You see, he was being a cheerful giver. Let's read it. "Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, 'Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, "He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, "I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. You see, folks, again, we can never escape God's mercy. But we see the love that Moses has. And what I really want you to take from this too is what James tells us. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I've asked you, what kind of influence do you have on other people? Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying for those people on our prayer list? Are you praying for those in your family, in your circle of friends? Are you praying for other church members? Are you praying for all those sinners who think that they know better than God? They're living rebellious, openly wicked lives, thinking there are no consequences. They need the light of God's to shine on them. They need God's grace, and they need God's mercy. The Israelites didn't deserve God's mercy. But Moses prayed for it. Now, let's continue on. Verses 19 through 35. So it was, and I've skipped a couple verses, Moses is now returning to the camp. He's coming down from the mountain, knowing what the Israelites have done. Verses 19 through 35. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. Now Moses is seeing it. So Moses' anger becomes hot. He sees the wickedness. Can you put yourself in Moses' place? Here he has been in the presence of God. He knows all the miracles that God has performed to them. What loving, what mercies they have benefited from. The holiness and righteousness of God. And yet now he comes back and he sees a false god that the people have made. Wouldn't you be angry too? Wasn't God justified in his anger? So Moses' anger becomes hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they made and burned it in the fire and ground it into powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?" And folks, I ask the church the same thing. Aaron didn't have the spine to stand up to the Israelites. He could have contended with them. He could have pleaded with them. He could have prayed. But whatever happened there, he bowed to the peer pressure. He was a people pleaser in this instance, rather than standing for what God's word was, keeping the oath and covenant that he himself had just made. So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot." You see, he's being subservient to Moses and calling him his Lord now, which he was. Moses was a ruler. "You know the people, that they are set on evil." You see, he's making excuses here. "For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, 'Wherever has any gold, let them break it off.' So they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and this calf came out." Yeah, it just popped out of there magically, didn't it? No, Aaron didn't have anything. He wasn't to blame. He was just saving his life. How quickly we make excuses. How quickly we compromise God's word to please people. How quickly we break our covenant with the Lord. How sad. How sad. How pathetic. It's shameful. Let's continue reading. Verse 25. "Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame of their enemies." You see, folks, this is an exact definition of the church. We've not done anything to restrain the sinful, ugly, filthiness of Pride Month. Nothing. Where is the church speaking out? If we do that, yeah, we're going to have a lot of people speaking out against us. But folks, you know, you don't have to have knockdown, drag-out confrontation. All you have to do is remember what God's word says. It does not make you a hateful person. You are not engaging in hate speech if you simply say what God's word says. And if somebody's not living by God's word, they need to hear it. Because that's what Moses did. He prayed for those people that didn't deserve it. We need to pray for people that have gone astray. Because, folks, we all go astray at points in our life. And I'm thankful for at the time in my life when people prayed for me. We need to be praying for other people. Because we all need God's mercy. We all need God's grace. Well, Aaron made excuses. I guess we've all made excuses in our lives. Let's continue on. "And Moses saw the people were unrestrained. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, 'Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me.' You see, we have a choice every single day. Are we going to live by God's word or are we not? Not everybody in the camp was out reveling and celebrating this wickedness of worshiping the false gods. And they came to Moses. All the sons of Levi gathered together to him, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, let every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. So in other words, the sons of Levi, the priests, who were supposed to be the priest, went through and killed those who I will call were the ringleaders, the rabble-raisers. See, I told you there's consequences. When we openly, defiantly disregard God's laws for so long, when we worship other gods, there are consequences and there are costs. 3,000 of the camp were killed. And then Moses said, "These are the Levites. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and brother." You see, there was a cost. But Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother, your father, you are not worthy of me. God comes first, not the other people in our lives. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So folks, being a people pleaser in this world is not keeping God's laws. And it's not always easy either. We need to pray for the strength to do so. We need to pray for God's grace because he's merciful. He's quick to forgive and he will lead us if we need the help. Now it came to pass, starting in verse 30, on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." See there again. Moses is being compassionate towards these people. Just like we need to have compassion. He's trying to make atonement for them. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin." See, there's a pause here. If you will forgive their sin. I think Moses, his heart is broken over what they've done. But yet he loved the people. Yes, he's angry. He's disgusted. But he loves the people. And he's asking, he's imploring the Lord, if you will forgive their sin. "But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." That's how much he wanted the Israelites not to be consumed and killed. How much he loved them. You see, there's no me in this action whatsoever. It wasn't that idol of I come first. He was putting the Israelites first. "And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you." And folks, if we stop right there, we see God's grace to continue on. He's not breaking the covenant. There will be a punishment. But he's going to continue on and bless his people. The angel will go before him. "Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin." So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. You know, folks, it's inescapable. Our sins will find us out. Whatever we hold in our lives that prevents us from worshiping God and being obedient to him is a false idol. It appears in many, many, many forms, but we need to cast them all aside and worship God first. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It is the first commandment. John, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, we need to pray that for ourselves. We need to pray for our church when the church has not stood up as God's representative here on this earth the way it should have. We need to pray for all people because God is a loving, merciful, compassionate God. Folks, ask yourself, do you have false idols in your lives? Ask yourself, does the church have anything that's preventing the true worship of the Lord? I think if you take the church as a whole, there are a lot of false idols in America's churches. And certainly in our nation, there are a lot of false idols. There will be a part three to this message. There will be a follow-up, and we're going to take a closer look at more of these false idols in our nation and in our church. Now, next Sunday is Father's Day. So we're going to take a break from this, and there'll be a different message for next Sunday. But after that, we will follow up and take a closer look. There'll be a part three. And I pray that the Lord will open our eyes. I hope in some way that this message has touched you to recognize that most all of us have false idols or have had false idols in our lives. And if we still cling to them, I pray that we will clearly be able to see it and cast them aside. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." May the Lord add his blessings to these words is my prayer.